Hello and welcome to episode 31 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And I am joined tonight by the jovial and ever happy Russ from Scotland Surrey. Russ, how are you tonight, sir?
You talk with tongue in cheek.
Very much in jest. It's been a long day for the pair of us, I guess.
Work
and family. See if you could just, you know, take work and family life out of things and just have, like, you know, half an hour to yourself just to chill out. Wouldn't it be a bad thing? That's almost what this is. This is like cathartic now, just the podcast, just sitting chatting. We rant for half an hour. We come on here, we pretend to be all jovial. We'll finish it and then we'll rant again afterwards. How's that sound, Russ?
Yeah, I just sit in the dark. Just sitting in the dark here. Obviously, we record this via video rather than just audio. But sitting in the dark here. I'm not sure if I'm depressed because I've just looked at my midweek team. This is the ones, you know, that I spent a lot of money on.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm depressed because of that or, it's been a long day. So, yeah, just having a look at my midweek team here.
Could the depression also be the fact that I'm clothed this week?
Well, there is that. Thankfully you are. Moving on.
To be honest, folks, he is depressed about that. But nonetheless, he's slightly more depressed about his European midweek team. So, we were just talking about this before we came on the air. It's not been a great few days for your squads, Russ.
Do you know what? I obviously had the hammer blow a few months ago that quite a few guys in Surrey have obviously had when Carlos Soler decided to go from being the golden boy at Valencia and the man who could basically, you know, he set foot on the pitch and his score seemed to hit like dark green the minute he actually, like, you know, shook hands and kicked off. Obviously he moved to PSG and has been very, very bit part up until obviously this week where he was sitting in one of my teams purely as it was just a punt. And yeah. I rock in on Tuesday night and it's like, oh, Carlos Soler scored 87 points. Carlos of old. All excited, looking, thinking, that's quite good because I've spent a bit of money on the team over the last few weeks, building what I thought was going to be a team built for midweek glory. And how they've let me down tonight. So my Armando Obispo, who has been really, really good up until this week, was sitting on the bench and has a DNP against them. And Goose Teal, who's been in pretty good form, maybe quite surprisingly, because there's some squad at PSV and there was a lot of people have said, you know, Teal will probably be the man to miss out. Well, he only scored a 26 tonight in a substitute appearance off the bench. And it's just basically Goose, both teams that had really, really high hopes for the specific game week. And I guess I'm not the only one. There'll be people that listen to this and they're like, this is the story of my life once a year. But I am a bit disappointed. I looked at my two teams and I think we just priced them up together there. The two teams were roughly about 2.6 ETH. So it's a hard kick in the stones.
It certainly is. Your casual team, on the other hand, though, Russ, you're only 30 points away from hitting a tier 3 limited. So there we go.
I've seen that, every cloud.
Jude Bellingham letting you down. Some of those scores are outrageous. I think in my casual team, because that's all I've got out in midweek, I have a few points less, to be fair, but I had a couple of good performances, but I had Luis Diaz, wasn't in the squad. To be honest, I did no... It's casual league. I don't do any research. I just pick 5 players, bung them in. I don't bother to check and see. I did get 132.5 points from Mbappe, though, which I thought was pretty stellar. But yeah, it is what it is. At the weekend, I had the higher ETH, but that was about it. And we kind of just spoke again. It's been a wee bit of... We've both had a wee bit of rotation issues and things like that. It'll come good eventually. But my best performers, Russ, have actually been my cheapest cards I'm actually using. I've got Andy Considine consistently rocking in the 50 points and Andrea Masiello. He's stuck in, I got 83.4 points from him. So I was like, well, happy days. I've got some good scores there. But then Kevin Van Veen has got 36. He got hit with two big missed chances after the, you know, with the Opta adjustments, which was absolutely sound as a pound. But yeah, 271 points. But the other one, I tried to get too smart for my own good with some of the changes, and I had DMPs and things like that. So, yeah, it's not been great. It's not been great, but hey-ho, every cloud would just move on to the next one, eh? So trading profit's been pretty good. Had another 150 out. So and I've had a sale this morning, and that's given me another kind of 70 quid sitting in the balance there as well. ETH had a nice wee spike of about 11-12% as well. So,
yeah, it's been going well.
I was looking at it, and I was like, I sold a player for, I don't know, say it was about £60, and I noticed that my balance is now sitting at about £67 or £68. So I was like, well, happy days. I haven't done anything for that 8 quid. So, and the one thing I did do at the weekend, last weekend, Russ, was I got myself a Specialist Limited team. Very cheap. I bought them as people were selling some of the cards off from the weekend. And already I've got them all listed at the cheapest on the market. And they're all, I think in total, it's about 35 quid up in the week. So if they sell before tomorrow morning, happy days. You know, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I've got three teams in. I've got the Specialist Limited, and then I've got All-Star, second division, and then underdog team. But I'm just going to see how it rolls. I had the big hopes for Goodmanson last weekend, and he put in his worst performance so far. I'm going to keep my mouth firmly shut on my hopes and expectations for the weekend. Russ, let's just get some ETH. That'd be a good start.
Do you know what? I think that's maybe, I'm just going to start targeting nothing, and then your dreams won't be shattered.
Yeah. If you expect to boot in the balls and you get a slap in the face, Russ, you know, well, then again, depends on your kink, I suppose. But usually most people would say that would be a positive. There are some who possibly say otherwise. But I get where you're coming from on that.
I had, on a positive note, for my teams, and I had them all in the wrong teams, but I had three return to forms. Jackson Maleka did play, and he rocked me a 67. I sadly put him in my one of my weaker teams, I think, if I remember. I had a 66, I think, from Philip Menzel, the goalkeeper. Klagenfurt, I want to say.
Yep.
And I had two of my new signings did well at the weekend. So although they've not, you know, I've not had them in the teams that are sort of getting me any money or any prizes during the middle of the week. Chatsidakis at AZ, that plays right back, he's been really consistent. And he has scored, as I say, well tonight for me, and he did well at the weekend. And Giakoumakis at Celtic.
Yeah.
And I opted not to play him this midweek because obviously Ange said that he was probably more likely going to be mixing it week about. Giakoumakis domestically, Kyogo in Europe, and he goes and plays, obviously, with Giakoumakis being in quite good form. He goes and plays him, and of course, I didn't have him selected this week, which might have eased my pain.
He played both, didn't he? Was it? He was asked about that on the radio, about trying to play both of them, and he shot it down in flames.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quickly. He's like, no, I need, that's why I've got two. I need one for this and one for that, and then he plays both.
He played them just like behind him.
Yeah.
It's kind of like false nine type stuff going on. I was like, oh, all right, okay. He's maybe got a copy of FM out or something. He's maybe got a new formation.
Possibly.
He's trialing or something.
Possibly. So. You should be getting some of my tactics on there, Russ, because my VVV team in the the second division in Netherlands are flying. I took them over as they were relegation candidates, and now I've got them up to... I don't understand it, because there's phases to get into playoff zones and stuff. Don't understand it. I was second in the third one or whatever, so I don't know if I've got a playoff place or not. But
you do. If you win one of the playoffs in the Eredivisie in any of the four phases, then you're guaranteed to be in the playoffs at the end. Is how it works.
I've got myself up to sixth anyway, so I'm doing no bad there. I'm doing no bad. But the one bit of joy I had, Russ, was I had a trade with Pavel on Saturday morning for Joel Newbley, because I did one of those things. I looked the player up. I had researched them, and I was like, right, okay, this is the boy I want to go and get. I sent loads of offers out on Friday, couldn't get them. Sent an offer out on Saturday morning, and I got them. Thank you, Dancer. And it was because I was needing another striker, because I'd sold Sinan Bacchus. So I was needing another striker, you know, ideally from Spain. And I found the boy, Antonio Puertas from Granada. I got his midfield card. You know, he's listed as a forward on everything, A6. And I got the midfield card, and I was like, Jesus Christ, because it went up way cheaper than any of the others, and I was like, no friggin' wonder. So I stuck him up for sale, was getting no bites. I went in Pavel's gallery, had Joel Newbley. I bit the bullet. I thought, right, he's got two tough games. He's got Rangers and Celtic back to back. I'll just stick him in, see what happens. I got him, and then he goes and scores against Rangers. So I was like, right, okay. So he's actually gone up to a 54 last five. So I'm quite happy with that. And do you know what? He's one of these boys, plays every week. So he'll sit there for the threshold team with big Kevin Van Veen. So yeah, that was my wee bit of joy. And also, mm-hmm. I think it was right before the podcast last week, I got Louis Boyston.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got 45 points. So do you know what? It was good enough just to get me, you know, through the threshold. And at the end of the day, I'd rather spend 500 quid on a threshold goalkeeper than a grand, because it, you know, it's a better ROI if you're going to look at it in any way. So yeah, that was that. So what will we skip on to, Russ? Will we skip on to the breaking news that was just sent through, or have you got a topic?
No, I was thinking that obviously the breaking news that we've just seen,
mm-hmm.
which was on Sky News as opposed to Surrey announcing it.
Yes. And that was indeed the headline on Sky News. Now, I don't know who this Mark Kleinman, who's the city editor for Sky News, knows absolutely nothing about the platform, NFTs, crypto, anything. Football. By the looks of his
articles. I don't think he's sports.
I don't think he knows anything, to be honest. He maybe knows the city. So if you need, you know, an A to Z, he might be able to give you that. But the headline was, Premier League lines up £30 million a year digital tokens deal with Surrey. So apparently there's going to be some sort of meeting of club executives tomorrow, being Friday, which is actually today when you're listening to the podcast, probably. But that was after talks with a rival provider collapsed. So that could be huge news. I think it said something they were expecting an announcement within, could be formally agreed within weeks is what it says. So potentially, maybe for the start of the new year, we could be looking at the Premier League having fully joined Surrey, Russ. So that would be pretty massive, in my opinion. I know we've always said it's probably their holy grail that they had left, really, eh?
100%. It's the league that everybody's been waiting on. It's the league that, regardless of what country in the world you're located in, you know, everybody also probably watches some of the Premier League. You've got the clubs that are all in the latter stages of most European competitions, most years, that give them the exposure. They're well exposed both in the Americas and the Asia sort of markets.
Yeah.
It's for everybody on the platform, it's a complete win. I'm going to struggle to find a negative on the Premier League joining Surrey, other than maybe the fact that I will not be able to afford some of the cards. But overall, you would think it will excite people. It will definitely bring new customers.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what, you know. Can you think of any? Is there any negatives that are, you know, going on in your head? Or
not really, to be honest.
About the game.
Do you know what? There's going to be a few people who are going to say, you know, oh God, here come the Chelsea stacks, or oh God, here come the Man City stacks. It's, you know, there's going to be that. There's going to be the whinges about that, and it's going to be the rich get richer. Do you know what? That's going to happen regardless what teams come onto the platform. But for me, this is the big breakthrough league that they've been needing. You know, because when I speak to my mates and I tell them, you know, say 6 months ago, before the Scottish League came into it, I'm trying to sell them on the Belgian League. No offence to any of these leagues I'm mentioning, but I'm telling them about the Belgian League, the Dutch League, the J League, you know, the K League, MLS and things like that. And it's not necessarily a mainstream thing. But now I'm able to say to them, you know what, you can go in, you can buy your Premier League boys from Scotland and now from England, as well as all these other leagues. Then the other leagues are kind of supplemental as opposed to core. Does that make sense? You know, because it's much easier to sell somebody on being able to go and look at, you know, if it is Man City, let's just pick them, you know, you can go and buy your, obviously you're able to get Haaland anyway, but you can go on there and you can now buy Gundogan, you can go on there and buy, you know, Ederson, things like that. So you're actually giving them household names, which are global household names, as opposed to household names within the Surrey world of like Van Aken. you know? So you're actually then selling them on much more mainstream, you know, players, attributes to the game, much more readily available to watch as well. You don't have to go and find these other channels. You know, you can watch the Premier League almost every day, whether it's BT Sport or Sky Sports, you know, or Amazon as well now. So invariably, there are stages of the season where you can actually watch the game 7 days a week at a couple of points. So, yeah, I don't think there's much in the way of negatives. It will probably help when it comes to international breaks, dare I say, because there's a huge amount of international players in the English Premier League. So that'll help with, you know, with scope for some of these other leagues. With them, you know, obviously the Championship was already covered, so it lessens your exposure for a loss, you know, of player value, you know, from a team getting relegated. So in theory, you could look at, you know, some of the lower end teams or maybe the teams that you expect to struggle if they go back down to the Premier, you know, take Fulham. I know they're further up the league, but they've been a yo-yo team for years. So if you're getting them at the end of the season as they're going down, you know, they're going to be a good team in the Championship, you know, in theory. So I can't think of a whole heck of a lot of negatives other than the ones that you're going to hear, as I say. Probably the, you know, the stack issue, I would imagine, for some of the big teams. Liverpool have already been in it, you know, and there's only a handful of boys that can afford to pick up all those cards. But I do think it just is going to broaden the horizons for people, I think.
Yeah, I'm guessing just the opportunities maybe for the Champion Europe competition, and there'll maybe be a few boys with sort of Barca and Real Madrid stacks that are made to obviously look and spend finally after years of being able to skim off the top in those competitions. Yeah. And I know it doesn't happen every week, but over the course of the season, if you've got players that play every week that are in a team that finishes in the top three of the league, more often than not, you're going to get good scores in Serie A, and that's just the way it happens. But I was just reading there just now that it was an article, it was actually in the Times, and it was in relation to back in March when there was four firms, Candy Digital, Consensus, Dapper Labs and Serie A were in the running for the initial partnerships. And in March, it was claimed that the clubs had approved an actual deal with Consensus, that would allow the firm to mint NFTs based on still images, creating a new market for digital trading cards. However, confirmation was expected in the summer, but never arrived. What it kind of finally says here is that Consensus can no longer commit to the same sums that were touted when discussions first started last year. I find that a wee bit surprising because the article underneath it said that Consensus were valued at $7 billion. So I don't know what, you know, there's something kind of broken down here. I'm not sure it's just based on rights and money issue. But hey, I'm guessing it'll all come out in the water. It's not, we should actually probably mention that I don't think Serrier's mentioned anything about this as it stands.
No, I think in fairness, it just says, I mean, this has obviously been leaked from somewhere within the Premier League, because it's actually just talking about that the Premier League executives are going to be discussing it at a meeting tomorrow with the 20 clubs. So, and it does say that it's a proposed multi-year contract as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think, do you know what? I'm obviously, like I say, it's been the holy grail. If it comes to fruition, as everybody's been hoping for the longest time, you know, Nicolas said so many times that, you know, they're basically looking to get, you know, the top leagues into Serie A, and you can't do that without the top league, can you? So,
no.
You know, if you don't have that one, you never have them all. So, yeah, I think it's going to be big. It's going to be a watch this space kind of thing. As we've all been on, you know, I've been on the platform for over 18 months, and that's what we've been looking for, isn't it? You know, so, and I think, as I say, to bring on new users, as you mentioned, again, if we go back to something we talked about a long, long time ago, if that brings in an extra 100,000 users, for argument's sake, to the platform, that's another 100,000 users who are going to be not just looking at Premier League cards, but looking at cards from other teams as well. And that can only buoy the market. You know, it just brings more users, but fewer cards effectively at that point. And, you know, it'll help lift the rest of the market. So, yeah, I'm quite excited to see where that goes. I will await, either cryptic messages appearing or some formal announcement at some point on a dreary Wednesday morning, no doubt. So I think, yeah, and it does look like, again, unlike the championship side of things, it looks as though it does say it's all 20 clubs that are going to be discussing it. So they've tried to agree this deal with the league as opposed to individual clubs. So I think that's quite a big thing there as well.
Do you know what another thing as well is that I noticed, certainly over this last year, and I don't know if you noticed it as well, but any time that there's been whether it's a launch of just extra clubs or some of the league launches, this last sort of 6 to 9 months, a lot of the clubs have actually been, you know, involved in tweeting, and there's been a lot more sort of club involvement, supporting Serea, which has been obviously really, really positive. And, you know, I don't think there'll be anybody that's not wishing Nicholas and his team, you know, the best of luck in getting this deal over the line, because it benefits every single one of us that's already here. Just out of the sort of looking at it from the social media perspective, I just had a quick look there. So for me, you know, the Scottish League coming on for certainly a lot of the guys that have been playing Surrey, and there are a lot of people that from Scotland that do play, you know, probably in proportion to the game, it's probably quite a high proportion of game users are from Scotland. And you see that within the lineups and a lot of the Twitter handles and things. But, you know, I'm looking here just now and Celtic have 863,000 followers on Twitter. And Rangers have 660,000 followers on Twitter. And I'm looking, thinking, you know, that's good numbers. I just went on to Manchester United and Man City. 33.5 million. 14 million. You know, I'm sure, once you know, I'll maybe do a little sort of numbers stat thing at some point this weekend, but just an accumulation of the amount of sort of followers. And I know that there'll be guys that, like, I know there'll be Man City fans follow Man United and Man United to follow Man City for bragging rights and to there's, you know, it's like me. I follow, obviously my team's United, but I follow your club as well so that I can, you know, to try and brighten my day and vice versa, I'm sure, with you. But there will be a lot of crossover, but the amount of eyes that, you know, they get this over the line and all of a sudden Manchester United, Arsenal, Newcastle, Chelsea, Spurs, everything like that, start tweeting about it. It'll just become potentially explosive.
Yeah.
And I think from a completely sort of side topic, we know there are cards in the game already. And it's like everything else. When when the new cards come out and the one that's in your strip, you do want that. But if it becomes unaffordable, you go to that Kurt Zouma card, for example, if you're a West Ham fan or whatever like that. You go to that Kurt Zouma fan that's already there in the game, even though it's not the strip you want. You know, the amount of boys that, for instance, that when Fashion Sakala joined Rangers, and obviously there was the card from the Jupiler League, and the amount of boys that snapped them up, you know, because they could, not really particularly bothered what strip he was in, but it was just the fact that they had one of their players, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, endless opportunities, and I suppose I'm just surprised it wasn't announced on a Wednesday, because obviously we had a day late recording.
Usually, they obviously knew our schedule was changing. Sky News leaked it slightly later than normal. But yeah, no, it's I think it'll be interesting to see once we get in. I don't think we'll hear anything whatsoever from Serea or the Premier League necessarily. It'll be what gets leaked in the press. Yeah. You know, so I wouldn't expect to hear anything until the ink's dry on the paperwork. So we will see, and no doubt we'll get some spectacular video to launch that. Now, let's just stick in with, you know, specific Serea news. We got our new game week calendar. It came out again on a Thursday, as opposed to the Wednesday we normally get it on. So that came out today, covering game weeks 3-1-9 through 3-2-2. But it also had a little bit of information about the Global Cup that they touted on social media, I think it was last week at some point. And they've given some details around that, which, you know, is quite good on one hand and not so great on the other. But we'll kind of touch on the international special, Russ. This is going to be when the Global Cup game launches. So I don't believe these are actually part of the game weeks that are upcoming. I think this is just for afterwards, after game week 3-2-2. Yeah, it is. I've just double-checked there. So international special, so this is going to be covering the World Cup, basically. They are going to have four divisions, one for each scarcity, limited, rare, super rare, and unique. So it's going to be players playing for their senior national team. No legends. Captain gets a 50% bonus, and you're still getting your XP bonuses, unlike when you use them in underdog or specialist. So there's going to be ones for there. So if you've got international utility, you could put the players into there, which, you know, all good. Sounds good at that point. In addition, there's going to be a global all-star still. Second Division Europe, underdog. There's going to be an under 23 special, Russ, which I think is very clear what it's all about, because there's only, only one maybe under 23 card that's going to be available to use for goalkeeper, sorry, I should have said. So what they're doing for that one is you're going to be able to use four players that's along the lines of underdog. There's going to be four players from the main scarcity for the division. So if you're playing rare, bang your four rare outfield players in. Your fifth player could be from any other scarcity, so common, and they're going to score zero. And your captain is going to get a 50% bonus, and that's got to be from the main scarcity. So that's going to keep the under 23 competition running through the winter period, which I think when it first came out, that's not what it said, but it's been changed to confirm that that is going to be in there. So if you look at the notification now, it's got a wee asterisk beside it to detail all that. So that's all good. Prize pools are going to be communicated closer to the tournament opening. So seems all good on the surface there, Russ, doesn't it?
Well, you're hoping that with it being the World Cup, it's another massive marketing opportunity that what you want to do, if you're going to entice people, there has to be plenty of prizes. That's as basic as it can get. There has to be lots of prizes. If you're trying to entice new users and they look in and go, oh, there's 15,000 people playing and there's 150 prizes, they go, I don't think I can win that. Yeah. And there's also 15,000 people that have been playing this game for a long time that are ahead of me in the queue.
Yeah.
So they've got to make it worthwhile. If of course, one of the objectives is to attract new users, which if you're not trying to attract new users at the time of a World Cup in football, with it being the biggest competition, then when is the time? This would be my question.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the ideal time as well in the fact that all the different nations, so you're getting, you know, more nations and more sets of eyes than ever, and nations obviously that normally wouldn't maybe also be looking. So, you know, how often are people from Senegal, for example, looking in on Surrear, or do they know about Surrear? But all of a sudden, if there's an element of it, of their players featured within the game, and there's a bit of exposure or a country focus or anything or whatever they decide to do at the time, or for that matter, any of us content guys that try and get information out on specific subjects. So obviously it's been predominantly Scotland for us, but when the World Cup comes up, I'm sure I'll probably do a few sort of, you know, international charts and things and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity for them. It's my hope is that the powers that be at Surrear aren't then too busy with what's just obviously transpired that we just spoke about 10 minutes ago, that's maybe just slightly accelerated, obviously, in the fact that, like we said, Sky News has reported it, nowhere else has really reported it. Let's hope they don't get too busy and that their World Cup sort of plans are fully cemented. And in relation, I know that they've done the game week stuff. What I'm meaning is the supportive stuff around it when the World Cup's on.
Yeah, no, totally. And that's the thing. I think, obviously, there's a lot of people worried that they're now getting sidetracked with the basketball launch, obviously. And obviously, they've had the baseball one, which I've seen kind of mixed reviews on, because now they're in a long off season. So they were putting out some plans, which, to be perfectly honest, I haven't had time to look at as of yet. But yeah, you know, you think it would be an all hands on deck type situation, given what it is and where they're at. I think that would definitely be, I think you're spot on that one, to be perfectly honest, Russ. So,
a thought and a question. I don't know if you sort of keep your sort of ears and eyes peeled a little bit more during the day than I do. It's more at nights that I tend to look at all the news and stuff around the game and stuff. Remember they did the announcements around, like, say, the Argentina international team and things and stuff. You'd like to think that the
try and roll out something for all the teams then, surely.
I think it might be similar to when they did the Euros last year, where it was, you know, they would have agreements with the certain FAs, because I think, what was it, Belgium, Germany and France. Yeah. Well, it wasn't Belgium. Yeah, it was Belgium.
Yeah, there was,
Germany and France and stuff like that. So I think it'll depend on what licenses they can agree with these different firms, to be perfectly honest. But by that token, I mean, I think you're right. I think it'll come a lot down to, you know, what does that prize pool look like? Is it going to be one that's enticing? And you're right, it has to be. And it's the time, if you want to attract these outside eyes. You know, you're going to want to do that, but you're also probably going to be wanting the users to then go and buy some of these, you know, as you say, like Senegal players or whatever team that, you know, they want to try and follow in the World Cup. Because, you know, that the next part of the calendar is the fact that they're changing the game weeks temporarily during the World Cup. It says to avoid confusion, but I think, to be perfectly honest, they've created more confusion for themselves. But they're going to be covering as match day one, match day two, match day three, all the way through to match day seven. And they have, you know, they've got the dates up for these, but there are gaps in the dates. And this is where there's been a bit of, you know, a bit of frustration and a bit of anger and, you know, some of it from me, a lot of it from others. You know, there's big gaps in it where anybody who's kind of tried to pre-plan for their winter are going to be missing game weeks for like the Chinese Super League, La Liga Smart Bank and Italian Serie B. Now, it's not every week by a long shot. But it still shouldn't be happening, in my opinion, because I don't understand why you couldn't either have an additional one or a B, and like a 4B. This is game week 4B or match day 4B or whatever. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to skip. You know, the whole platform is about utility, you know, collectability and utility. And, you know, that's what separates it from any other NFT, you know, where you just buy an ape. You know, it has no utility, but the whole thing about this is having utility. So you're deliberately taking utility away from some players. Now, obviously, I'm hacked off because I've spent well into four figures on some of these La Liga Smart Bank players to the point where, you know, I'm going to be missing a whole weekend of action. So it's only one game week, but if I've spent $2,000 on players where I've been planning specifically around the World Cup, and all of a sudden I'm getting told, hey, by the way, your players aren't going to be worth a fuck. Excuse the language, we're supposed to be trying to retain that a little bit. But your players aren't going to be worth anything for that particular weekend. They're completely redundant. You know, your $2,000's just sitting in escrow until then. It just doesn't sit right. It doesn't sit right with me. I just feel that, you know, taking the utility away doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. At no other point that I can recall has there been a gap in game weeks. One closes, one opens. I don't remember there being a gap. I think they used to close maybe in the morning and then open at 5. But you know what? I don't understand why you would have huge gaps like that in your planning. But in fairness to Sarah, recently when there has been a backlash on things, they have reacted back to it. So maybe when they've seen the barrage that's come their way today, maybe they'll react to it and come round and see sense on that. But that's just a quick on the surface opinion of it. So I'm happy on one hand that they're creating these other competitions so people can still enter and use 4 cards instead of 5, or being able to have specific international ones, as you say, around, you know, the World Cup. Brilliant. Just include everybody. You know, just don't exclude games for no good reason. You know, there's Celtic and Rangers games in amongst that as well, eh? So it doesn't sit right with me on those ones. But apart from that, looks no bad.
It has confused me, as I say, why there's it says two dates that there's breaks, isn't it? The 7th and the 8th of December, and then the 16th specifically. And yes, there are no World Cup games on those dates, but like you say, there are plenty of other fixtures. For me, looking in on it on your circumstances, for example. So I know that as part of your planning and as part of my planning, we both went slightly different in strategy. I said I was going to try and look and pick up a playing World Cup goalkeeper, which has proved harder to do unless I want to pick up someone, say, like Matt Ryan at Australia, who will play in the World Cup, I would suggest, but he then will probably not play for week to week. You know, he has had a few games here and there, but it's not really worked out for him since he left the English Premier League. So I could pick him up, and therefore, I think he's maybe round about, I'm just going to take a guess, about 0.4 on the market. He's maybe gone up in price now. I'll probably check as we're looking at this. But you, on the other hand, have specifically, and you might not have probably done this, if you'd known this, you probably wouldn't have created a second division team, because you've had to spend a lot of time researching it, which you've done, and fair play to you, because you've spent a lot of time looking at the leagues, looking at the players, looking at the top clubs. You've done a lot of trading, and luckily, thankfully, I suppose that's the only sort of saving grace, is that, you know, it has allowed you probably to make roughly, I don't know, maybe about an ETH or something, you know, in the last 3-4 weeks, which is great. But like, what I'm seeing here is that there's going to be valuations of these players drop, surely, because these were looked at as this was your exclusive opportunity to not go and buy, say, Griezmann, you know, not go and buy or try and get in bidding wars and things like that for, say, the teams that you think should progress through the groups, you know. So you're looking and going, right, okay, I might look at German cards, I might look at French cards, you know, Spanish cards. And I admittedly, I sat and looked at it and thought, oh, Carlos Soler, was quite happy to let him go 2-3 weeks ago, but he does play for Spain. You know, he's obviously been a wee bit out of favour in the last couple of friendlies, but that was because of his situation at PSG. But on his day, in my opinion, Carlos Soler's as good as MD in that Spanish midfield, really. Certainly going forward. And I'm looking and going, oh, do you know what, I've got a Canadian player. So I'm looking and thinking, right, I actually don't need to delve into the second divisions of Italy or Spain, which, as you know, I haven't. But I've sat and watched you spend a lot of time, and you spent a lot of money. And that money, I know deep down, you wouldn't have spent in those leaks if it wasn't for the fact that I think that you were being smart based on what should have happened. And what should have happened, in my opinion, hasn't happened if they've got these leagues excluded. Like, and I agree with you on the fact that if there's a full calendar of fixtures of the second division in Italy and one in Spain, why, if we're covering them the rest of the year round and we've got leagues that are focused on them, are we excluding them for one day?
Yeah, it does. Do you know, and this is the thing, is it is only 1 week. I totally, totally get that. I'll be able to use them every other week. I don't have to worry about a team getting knocked out of a competition, which was one of the things, you know, you could build it around Germany and they go out and, you know, the knockouts, not the knockouts, the group stage. It can happen to any of the big teams.
Of course.
And it has done every World Cup. You know, there's always a shock team that just doesn't perform. So I don't have to worry about that. But I just think, you know, I'm not the only one. There's going to be loads of people who have done it. And you're effectively being excluded for that particular weekend. Doesn't seem right. But as I say, they have been proactive when they've had a fair bit of backlash in recent times. So, well, I say proactive, they've been reactive. So will they react to the people's frustrations? So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I think it's a bit naive to think that you can operate it by match day when, you know, realistically, there's a couple of ones where it's just the two semi-finals, you know, and yeah, there'll maybe be other fixtures in some other leagues, but how would you prioritise it around two games when there's 20, that you're excluding? So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me on that front, but I think we'll wait and see. I think we'll wait and see on that, Russ. Hopefully, it does say, that they're at risk of not being covered. It doesn't say they're not going to be covered. So that might well be that they adjust and see sense and fix it, basically. So I guess we'll wait and see on that one. But I don't really have anything else to add to it other than the fact that, you know, the competitions look halfway decent. We'll just have to wait and see how they shape up. I know that there is the the prize pools for the other weeks are all up. Happily, next midweek I do have a Spanish one, and there's 45 cards, I think it is, for second division. So I got a wee sneaky opportunity there. And just having a look at the following week, they've kept the prize pools the same in the second division competitions. They haven't, you know, they haven't been dynamic in any way, shape, or form. It's still 75 at the weekends. So we'll see how it rolls moving forward. So have you got anything else you want to add in that one, Russ?
No, just, you know what, I think it's probably important to say that, you know, we'll always look at both sides of the coin when things come out. And, you know, there's, for instance, the Premiership announcement, and, you know, it was 100% fully supportive, positive, couldn't really see anything sort of negative. But then, obviously, the game week announcement, we don't want to just be nodding dogs and go, everything's great all the time and the world is magical and full of rainbows and unicorns. We do, you know, from time to time say, well, this isn't going to work for some people. And that's why we like to highlight it. It's for no other reason rather than looking at the overall platform and gaming experience as a whole.
Yeah. I think in fairness, Russ, even if I didn't have a team built for that, I would still be frustrated by it and I would still say the same thing. It's wrong to exclude them. I don't have any Chinese Super League teams, but people do. Mm-hmm. People have got players from these countries that have specifically bought them for this occasion. So I can see why they would be frustrated. So it is totally what it is at the moment. We'll just see how it goes. There's still a few weeks out before we get to that. So
yeah. Before we move on to the Scottish clubs Scottish reviews, just because you mentioned dynamic, I don't know if you've seen this week's prize numbers on certain competitions. So Champion Europe's 303. Challenger Europe's 408 cards. Just found it, you know, normally it's been like, you know, 300 on the nose or like 140, something like that. But I'm looking at game week 318 here, and I'm looking down the rares, and there's a few, you know, 68 in under 23 pro as opposed to maybe the normal 60 or whatever. So
yeah, that's about an anomaly, isn't it, really?
Yeah, they're getting that's really dynamic.
Do you know what? I wish it was properly dynamic. And I've used the example of, you know, poker tournaments before where I'd say it's like a 10%, you know, that are going to win prizes. And they can then, you know, however many entries they've got, they have the prize pool. Say the prize pool is, I'm going to pull the figure, the prize pool is 100 grand. And whether that 100 grand gets divided between 20 people or 1,000 people, that's what the prize pool is. And they, you know, they can work it, surely to goodness, they could work a very simple forum, you know, percentage based, okay, number one gets allocated X percent of the budget. There's your Kylian Mbappe, you know, that sort of thing. All the way down to the guy who gets stuck with, you know, the dud, you know. The dud. I can't think of a player. I don't want to insult anybody. I was going to pick on my usual one, but I've been told off by you for doing that all the time. So will we move on to Scotland, Russ, speaking of which?
We will move on to Scotland. And I put out a few charts just up to game week 314.
Yes.
Last week we covered the Midlothian 3, rather than, I want to say Edinburgh 3, it sounds better, but we've got to be proper. So Hearts, Hibs and Livy got covered, and obviously it did really get to my OCD, the fact that Kilmarnock wasn't covered and Livingston were. I was struggling with it, I have to say. But this week I put up Kilmarnock, Motherwell, and only tonight, after coming in from work, I put up the Rangers charts as well.
Yep.
I know that you had a wee chance to look at Killian Motherwell. I don't know if you've seen the Rangers one yet, but
I have had a look. Quite frankly, the cards that are in the game are so poorly scored that I'm not sure what benefit we get of spending too much time on it. But we could certainly touch on the Rangers one first and foremost if you want to do that, Russ, just to, because it is the one where, you know, there aren't the players.
So obviously Rangers, the standout performers, like you say, my comment on Twitter when I put it up was, I wonder what the price of them would be, you know, which would probably be more to the point. But the standouts for you there, really, then, the obvious ones?
I mean, the most obvious one is going to be James Tavernier, because, you know, he's on everything. Mm-hmm. And he does run away, and it's not even close. I think that's easily the highest score that we've looked at so far. Now, granted, there's obviously extra game weeks on, you know, every week as we're moving by, but he's on a total of 800 points for the season.
Huge, isn't it?
It's just ridiculous, eh?
I was putting in the data, Chris. It was just, I actually did have a look, and I think he's on a last five average of 87 and a last 15 average of something similar. I want to say it's 80 plus.
Yeah, I'm just going to bring it up on Surreal Data right now, just so I've got it right there. Yeah, 86 for his last five, 77 right. for last 15, and 72 for last 40. He will be an absolutely obscene price. Mm-hmm. But he is on everything. And, I mean, most of the stuff that goes well at Rangers goes through him, and he's the right back, you know? So, yeah.
Surprised with the left back scoring? Was it higher than you thought? Because it was for me. Given like having seen and, you know, speaking and working with quite a lot of Rangers supporters who have been not really overly complimentary for Barisic this season, for him to be second?
Do you know what? I think a lot of the guys that are getting down the line and putting crosses in and things like that, they'll get a lot more freedom against teams because teams sit back. So the fullbacks will get a lot more freedom. So not overly surprised at his score, to be perfectly honest. Some of the ones I was more surprised, like I didn't think Connor Goldson would be as low down. I think he's still got a high score, but he is further down. He has obviously been injured for, you know, was that just last week? I think he only missed.
It was purely he's missed two game weeks.
Two games, yeah. So it's
which is, to be fair, you know, he's if we were looking again at his averages, they wouldn't be as high as Tav's, but they would be very consistent. It's certainly a card that if you've got the money and the way that the boys, you know, snapped up Carter Vickers and things like that, you know, it's Goldson will play every week that he's fit.
Yeah.
You know, James Tavernier, they give you that sort of right centre-back and right-back that must be any Rangers manager's first two picks when they're sorting that defence.
But then the ones that have got cards, Russ, just very quickly to touch on, the ones that are actually on the graph at the end of the video here, you've got Malik Tillman, who's only on a total of 408. Been rotational, but he just doesn't do it for me, to be honest. Rabi Matondo is another. And the rest of them aren't even on. That's it. That's the only ones that are in the top. What? How many's on the screen here? About 11 or 12?
It's the 11s that I put. The best 11 for all the teams. You'll also note that there's no goalkeeper on there, given the fact that Rangers obviously swapped their goalkeeper, so both are just sitting under. Obviously, that's the 11 that you can see, but right underneath, for instance, Ryan Jack, you've then got Scott Wright. Then Alfredo Morelos is only on 278 opta points for the entire season. Mm. John McLaughlin comes after that. James Sands, so there's a card in the game for him, 264 points, but again, just too rotational.
No, that's it. So
Ben Davies, 225. However, to be fair, to that card has actually scored probably in the top five over the last sort of four game weeks, if that makes sense, as he's kind of broken into the team.
Yeah.
That's obviously only happened due to injury, really, is where he's managed to cement his place. One card that doesn't have a card in the game that really actually quite surprised me as I was making it, just because so many people have been raving about him recently, Stephen Davis, only on 257 opta points, you know, like in comparison to Lundstrom.
Yeah. Yeah, Lundstrom right up at the top end there, eh? But
yeah,
and, you know, again, it probably comes back to, like you've said, about the rotation and stuff. So, I don't know. It is what it is. As I say, you know, I think they're a team in a bit of turmoil at the moment, or a club, certainly, with, you know, you look at the results haven't been great. They narrowly beat Dundee last week, and you know, we did pin them back later on, but we just didn't have any creativity. And then there was the weekend with Livingston, and they took until the 92nd minute, I think, or so, to break through and get the equaliser. So they were getting booed off, and they lost heavily again during the midweek. So I think it's between them and It's is it one of the Polish teams that are vying for the worst ever Champions League record?
Yeah.
You know, so depending on what happens next week, they're vying for one of the worst ever records in the Champions League group stages. So, yeah, it is what it is. You know, they're not all in the game, so it's quite hard to kind of really put too much into it for me, because the cards that are in the game, quite frankly, aren't good enough.
Yeah, and there's like Fashion Sakala doesn't even make it into the top 20 Rangers players on like on that graph when I'm able to expand it further as I create it.
Yeah.
Sakala's not even breached 100, and I think it's 160 points for the whole season. And, you know, there was guys paid when he joined Rangers, and I remember that the price of the actual card rocketed up to about 0.3, 0.4. And you're just getting no utility from that card because you can't trust it to be starting an SO5. So for me, just based on Rangers, we've openly said on the podcast a number of times, I can't see any better than second place for them in the Premiership this season, which is exactly where they finished last. The one thing that I've noticed as a change, so last year, they only had the two guys that actually had Premier League double figures, which was Morelos and Roof. Now, Roof's been injured and has just returned, so he's actually just posted his first SO5 score. It's actually game week 316 that he posted that, which isn't included in any of the graphs yet. But just from the assists perspective, Tavernier, Kent and Morelos all weighed in. I think it was just with double figures as well. And that's not happening this year. You know, you're not getting the same from any of them other than Tav. It's only Tav that's given you that sort of that contribution. So not much more to say really about Rangers.
No, not really at all. So will we move? Do you want to go back up the alphabet, or do you want to go back to the start and down? What would you prefer?
I need to go to K, Chris.
You need to go to K.
I need to go.
So we'll go to Kilmarnock then. The top three in here, Russ, in contrast to Rangers, the top three's last three-day averages for both for all three, you could pick up for 0.1.
Is that right?
That is right. Alan Power, who had cards from St Mirren from last season, and he's obviously got his new ones there as well, so he's got a fair bit there. Now, he is cracking on in age, as old Alan. I think, is he 34? Yeah, he's 34. However, his price coming in on the market, Russ, 0.02.
That's great for thresholds, isn't it?
So 26 quid, and he could potentially return you, you know, or help you get to, even if it's a lower ETH, to get 26 quid back again or 23 quid back again. So I think that's pretty good value. He has been fairly consistent for them. And, you know, the one thing about Kilmarnock, they do play on that plastic pitch. So they do tend to have a wee bit of an advantage when they're playing at home a lot of the time, because, you know, other teams aren't used to playing on the artificial surface. The ball does run differently. But, you know, that's not every team happens, because Celtic went there and scalped them 5-0. So Ash Taylor was the second one. He's 0.033. Now, there's only been a couple of his cards out so far because Kilmarnock have only just been added into the game.
Yeah.
Because they were newly promoted, having been relegated the previous season by Dundee via the playoffs. Ash Taylor, formerly of Aberdeen, so he'd be a familiar name to a lot of Scottish fans. And then the third one on the list is one that's been not wholly a starter, but he's one that I tried to pick up on Saturday as he scored, and some tube bought him and then put him up at four times the price, and he still sat with him, even though he's been bringing the price down and bringing the price down and bringing the price down. He still sat with him because he's overpriced him. And that was Danny Armstrong. 0.05 he's sitting at, Russ. Now, I'd actually messaged you and said, what's your thoughts on Danny Armstrong? And, you know, we both said, you know, you said what I was thinking, and it was just that he has been rotational. And I think he started 7 of the 12 games, but he has now got 4 goals and, you know, he's performing pretty well for them. I think he's got 3 in the League Cup as well. So he's all told he's got 7 goals for the season for them. And that's from a midfield card. And it looks as though by the heat map on SofaScore, he takes the corners and things like that when he's playing. So
I really like him.
Do you know what? I'm absolutely gutted. I was swearing quite a lot on Saturday when I went to buy them, because I had it, I was putting in the password, but it was taking ages to come up with the screens. And when I pressed submit, it came up with an error, and so this other boy had picked him up, and it still stuck with him because he tried to put him up at like 0.18. So, yeah.
It's a bit ambitious, I think.
It is a bit ambitious. You know, I'm going to keep an eye for people winning them, and I will hopefully maybe try and pick him up for when the season kicks back off in December.
Well, the thing is as well is that Lafferty's got the ban. Christian Deutsch is injured.
Cameron they were playing, wasn't it?
I was looking, obviously, and did a wee bit of research just for the stuff that I do on Play Sharper. So for the lineups, it depends how they'll go, but they've got Ollie Shaw, Innes Cameron, and then Rory McKenzie can kind of play almost anywhere, from midfield to wing to, I think he's played a few games up front as well. None of them are what you would class as exciting sort of guys that you're going to have faith in getting you a green score every week. They're like, you know, they're all decent pros, but I don't think really any of them, I don't even really class Ollie Shaw as an out and out natural striker. But obviously I can see more goals for Danny Armstrong coming. And like you say, at the back, they'll either play the four or they'll play the five with the three centre-backs, with Mayo that came from Rangers, and then Ash Taylor for the experience, I think, when he's fit and can manage every game. I'm not 100% sure he can play every game. And then you've got Joe Wright, and they've got the guy Alibusi, that's on loan. I think he's on loan from Arsenal. I actually seen him again in the game against United in the Premier Sports Cup.
Yeah.
And I thought he looked really, really good he was kind of playing right wing back. And I thought, yeah, he looks quite good. I'm not sure 100% sure if he's got a card in the game or not, Ryan Alibusi. But he looked quite good. Yeah. Kilmarnock, obviously it's no one really knows what's going to kind of happen there, how that's going to pan out. Like you say, they came up again, so there's not really a previous to kind of go on against last season. But
I mean, do you know what? The bottom end of that table is so tight, Russ, that from even from Hearts in seventh on 14 points down to Ross County and Dundee United at the bottom of the league on 9, there's only 5 points between mid-table and bottom of the league. So it's hugely open at the moment. Obviously, Kilmarnock got a big win at the weekend against Ross County, so that propelled them up and kind of out of the playoff zone as well. So that was probably, for me, probably going to, you know, you'd have to look at that as being probably the result of the season for them so far, because it was a big, you know, even at this stage in the season, it's a big 3 points to pick up. And then looking at the opposite end, they did get, as I say, they did get hammered 5-0 from Kilmarnock, but that was 5 going on 9 or 10 that day. So, but they've got, is it Zach Hemming, the goalkeeper? He came back from injury. And has been, you know, a much better pair of hands at the back there as well. So, yeah, that's my views on Kelly. I don't have an awful lot more to add. Limited number of cards in the game. That's one thing I will say. If you're looking for, you know, for rare cards, for example, there are a lot of them. I've only got 2 or 3.
Was there any surprises with Kelly? Was there anybody that you were like either at the top or the bottom and you thought, God, I thought they would be much higher or much lower?
Not really. To be honest, it's not a team that I've paid enough attention to, purely because there aren't enough cards, really. And, you know, when there's only 2 or 3 of the cards, you get boys like, you know, the aforementioned roster that puts them up for 4 times what they've paid for them. So I haven't really paid them enough attention other than Danny Armstrong. So I can't say there is, really, to be honest.
On to Motherwell. What's your thoughts?
Motherwell was a very obvious top three for me to be on. I was surprised that Liam Kelly wasn't maybe a little higher, but I think he's 4th, I think, was it by the end of it. But top three, Sean Goss. We've both effused profusely about Sean Goss's you know, threshold capabilities, and his scores have been very consistent. So there was no surprise for me to see him at the top. He's coming in at the market just now about 0.1. So you're looking at about 130, 135, 140 quid. But again, it's a consistent. He's playing every week. He's getting decent scores every week. You know, and that's half the battle. If you can get those 50 points, it's half the battle. So wasn't surprised with him at all, Russ, being up at the top. And the next one, I don't think he started the season, I believe it was Bevis Mugabe played the first couple of games, I think, for Motherwell at the back. And that was Sander Johansson. He came in, I believe it was after, obviously, Ricky Lamy got sent off early doors and he came in. And then when Lamy came back, it was Bevis that moved out. Mm-hmm. But he's sitting there second overall in the scores. And he is coming in only on the market right now at 0.05, which seems like really good value. I just sold a defender earlier in the day, not necessarily in the market for one, but when I seen the price attached to him just now, it did give me, you know, cause for thought, to be perfectly honest.
He's putting the numbers up every week. And like, you know, it's not just like 40 plus scores, it's 60s. And
It's good scores. And do you know, the thing is, and I hate to say this about Scottish football, but I'm going to have to say it. You know, it can be a bit of hammer thrown at times with some of the teams. You know, there are teams that are going to be just punting in long balls and, you know, that sort of thing. And it, you know, it happens. You know, my own team aren't above it. Your team aren't above it. They do try to play football, but we're not above just getting the ball forward. And that's where defenders like that are going to be dominant, can get really high scores, especially now, you know, with the duels and things like that. They can really pick up some really good scores there. So, yeah, it was maybe a minor surprise there, Russ, I would say. Mm-hmm. But one that I think I'm going to put a bid in on one right now, to be perfectly honest, just before the pod comes out. And number three, he's been way off the boil, and that was Kevin Van Veen. He did get off to a really good start in the season, but he's had a few games where he's fairly isolated. And, you know, if you look on the Motherwell fan forums and things like that, they all say the same thing. He is not really getting the service that other, you know, they brought in, was it Louis Moult?
Yeah.
They brought in
Preston. Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't, you know, been starting. Apparently, I did see that they brought in a specialist fitness coach to work specifically with him to try and get him up to speed. And I think if Van Veen had somebody to play off like that, then, or vice versa, it could be more fruitful. He's sitting at 0.12 just now, Russ. And do you know what? It's still a cheap price. He does play every single week. So, you know, you're not worrying about DNPs when you're playing Van Veen. You won last season because he had a lot of suspensions and things, but just now, I don't think you're as concerned about that.
Do you know what? I think with from the Fantasy Football League stuff, Kevin Van Veen over the last sort of 4 or 5 years was always picked up in the English lower leagues. You know, when he was at Scunthorpe and things, he just used to always score goals and, well, they sung songs about him. Do you know what I mean? Kevin Van Veen, Gold Machine, was sung at many a stadium. Yeah. And he is one of these, he's one of these guys that just manages to kind of hit it off in the Scottish top flight that either comes from League One and League Two. And not all players that do come from English League One and League Two come and do well. There's a lot that, you know, kind of go back down the road and just haven't seemed to master it. But he has, and I like him as a card. And to be fair, when I was looking about 3 or 4 weeks ago at just getting a couple of more Scottish cards back in the gallery, he was one that I did look at. Now, he was priced a fair bit more than he's priced now because he'd still had a higher, I think he still had a few of those 60 scores maybe on his last five average. But yeah, he's kind of off the boil a little bit at the moment. Like you say, there's a massive difference in if you're getting supplied sort of 25 chances a match with Barisic and Tav and, you know, Ryan Kent and stuff whipping in crosses, as opposed to, with all due respect, you know, getting the occasional cross from Paul McGinn or Blair Spittle or whatever, you know. And
yeah,
I think you're right in the fact that Louis Moult was a poster boy at Motherwell a few seasons back, and he racked in all his goals. And Motherwell have always had this knack of having this one guy that can normally get like 15, 20 goals, whether it's been Moult in the past or Scotty McDonald or, you know, going further back, there's certainly a few more. But yeah, a lot on the Motherwell scores, actually, when I looked at it, apart from those sort of Goss, Johansson, Van Veen, Kelly, the goalkeeper, was, I think, probably still in agreement that probably one of the safest goalkeepers in the league still.
I don't think he's one of these players, I don't think there's any doubt at him. And to be perfectly honest, the way that Craig Gordon's played for the last, say, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks since the internationals. Would you be surprised if he got the start in Turkey?
He might. Well, there has to be.
You have to do it.
Some of these peripheral players have to get the cap. So, you know, what he's been sitting on, I think he's been sitting in so many squads, and we've got quite a few players that have sat in the national team with zero caps. He has to get the shot, or at least a half, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Which will be quite interesting to see. The final one, the final two, arguably, on Motherwell, Ricky Lamey, who was obviously due to join your club and then changed his mind. But he's been pretty consistent alongside Paul McGinn. So the defenders, they're kind of, what's that, three out of the top six players at Motherwell, all defenders.
Defenders. And again, I think it's just they're one of the teams that are, you know, they're going to soak up those type of, you know, long ball games. And I think that, I mean, if Ricky Lamey didn't get sent off in that first game of the season, he was on for a 100 score and I was on for a tier one. And then he got sent off in the 88th or 89th minute. Which scunnered that one.
But gives you plenty of tears instead, did it?
Do you know what? Actually, I was watching it, but I was still well into the cards. So it was one of those where I was like, oh, well. I still won a card, still got higher ETH, all that kind of jazz. But yeah, do you know what? I think Motherwell, if you're having a look at some players, Motherwell have got some decent players in there. And, you know, you could do far worse than look at some of them.
Not expensive either, I don't really feel.
And I think that's the thing, Russ, and I think we spoke about it, we touched on it right at the start, in terms of what prices the players are that we are putting in. And then I sit back and I look at my best performing players. It's not the expensive ones. It's not the expensive ones at all. It's Considine, Masiello, it's players like that. So, yeah, I'm probably going to start to have a shift back over to the, you know, to a lot of the Scottish cards, to be honest, I think. And, you know, maybe once some of the European leagues like Austria come back, I'll maybe look to switch back into that from the second division, to be perfectly honest. So, yeah, that I think it was a fairly good trio of teams to look at. I think Rangers, obviously, there was a lot less to look at. Kelly, there are some good prices, and Motherwell, there's some good prices and good value, in my opinion. So, yes, well, we have a little look at the challenge for this week, then, Russ.
Yes,
we are one apiece.
Yes, we're one apiece, and we said, what did we say last week? We'll put it on Twitter and we'll get you to vote, and then we forgot to put it on Twitter, so we're doing it this week.
Yeah,
we selected a league.
Yeah, we picked a league, and well, you picked a league, and it was Russia, one of your more home stomping grounds when it comes to players. Mm-hmm. So let me rattle through my team first, Russ.
Okay.
That way I can get it out and over with, because it's trying to pronounce these names for me is a wee bit troublesome. So I'm going to go from front to back, just to annoy your OCD. So I'm going to start with my forward, and that's Francois Camano. You're going to have him as well, aren't you?
I've got him, yeah.
Value. And I picked him up last year during their close season and then sold him for a nice chunk of profit. He's coming in at 0.085 on the market. Last five of 46. Left winger. I think that's a fairly safe pick up there. Yeah. I'm going to move into midfield. Russ, let's see if these two lads are in your list. Yuri Gazinski?
No.
No, okay, that's fine then. 0.019. Last five of 53. Playing in the centre mid for Ural. Other midfielder was Amar Ramanovic for Samara. 0.037. Last five of 46. And then my defender, the bargain basement price of about £18, Igor Smolnikov. Last five of 49. Right back for Torpedo. He's played the last couple of games at right midfield, I could see. And that came into a total of 0.156, Russ, which in today's inflated prices is probably higher than the budget we'd initially set. But yeah, that's what I went with. So my limited Russian knowledge, that's the players I came up with.
Well, I have some similar. And I just realised there just now, and I don't know if I've jotted it down wrong or not, but I think I might have three defenders in the striker.
Yes, good stuff.
Brilliant, great stat. However, I will sort this as we go here. So my striker, like you, Francois Camano, I had a look at the... I was actually looking at the Play Sharper sort of guide as well to see if the guys were actually going to play or were likely to play. So I did have a look at that. I know you probably didn't have time to, but obviously Lokomotiv Moscow against CSKA this weekend. He's one of these names that you see quite regularly popping up, like you say, on the score sheet. So he is also in my team. I also have Vladislav Kamalov at Amit Grozny. Now, they're at home, and he will probably start. I think he's the right back there. He was coming in at 0.022. I'm just double checking. I've got Dmitry Skopintsev down, an old favourite. I've signed him a couple of times. He's kind of actually broken through more this year, and I thought there was a midfielder card for him, and there probably isn't. So, do you know what? I'll keep him in as another defender, will I?
Yeah, why not?
Let's have a look. So I've got a forward, two defenders, and do you know what? No, I'm going to drop Skopintsev, Chris. Just to be an arse, I'm going to drop him. I'm going to go with my original other defender pick, which was Eli Dasa, that used to play in the Eredivisie. That's Andy Robertson's nemesis. He always comes up against Andy Robertson in Scotland-Israel games, doesn't he? Robertson never seems to be able to get the better of him. So he's obviously at Dynamo Moscow just now and was coming in at 0.045. They're at home to Khimki this weekend. So that leaves me with 0.023 to get a midfielder. Now, I know midfielder that I've actually helped with a friend before, and I'm just going to check he's playing. I think I'm going to go with Ayaz Guliyev, and he's coming in at 0.021. Sir Despicable selling him at the moment. I'm going to go with him because I'm pretty certain that he'll play.
Good stuff.
Let me just check. Yeah, so Vladislav Kamalov, Eli Dasa, Ayaz Guliyev and Francois Camino is my four players up against your four this week.
Interesting. So effectively it's 3-3 now. So we'll see how that goes. Just on that note, Russ, Sander Johansson has just checked into my gallery, courtesy of Pavel Trader, for 0.04.
Oof, nice.
So he's now available on the market if anybody wants him for 0.07. Yes, I'm being that guy. I don't care. There's a couple of old season cards. This is a new one. And I just noticed he's also number 15, which is the best number he could possibly be. So with that, I don't have anything else for this week. I think it's been a fairly, lively discussion around a few things there. And I think it's important that we balance, the perspective out. Not everything's going to be positive. Not everything's going to be negative. It's that type of a platform. Whether you're having a bad few game weeks, everything could look like it's the worst thing in the world. You have a few good game weeks, everything's the best in the world. But I think things like user experience is completely independent to anything like that. And I think these are the things that, need to be, when they need pulled up, they should be pulled up. But exciting news possibly on the horizon. So we'll see where we take from there, Russ. Have you anything else you'd like to add tonight?
No, it's good night and God bless.
Good night and God bless. Man, I used to love the Reverend I Am Jolly. I was going to come out with a line there, but I'm going to skip that for tonight. For the Scottish listeners, you'll remember I Am Jolly. Yes. So that's basically Russ, to be perfectly honest. He just comes out every time we load up the video, he just goes, hello. And that's it. So anyway, never mind hello. We'll say goodnight. Take care, guys, and enjoy your game weeks.